Amen. Why don't you have a seat? All right, our fifth and sixth grade youth are heading out. They have a class, especially for them. Good to see you guys with us this morning. Well, hey, we are so glad that you're here. If I have not gotten a chance to come around and say hi to you, my name is George. I'm the pastor here. We're super excited that you are here with us on this Palm Sunday this week before Easter. We know that a lot of folks in our congregation, our family, are gone this week because it is, once again, spring break in the New Albany-Floyd County school system, and so it hits right in the middle, and so we got a bunch of our folks out, but we are so glad that you are here. And my hope and prayer is that this is just going to be a great time of worship for you, where you would encounter Christ and get to know a little bit about our church, a little bit about our family that we call Faith Point. So we are in part six. I'm wrapping up a message series that I began 6 weeks ago that's simply called The Wilderness. The Wilderness. It was actually based to a large degree on a book that I read from a friend and colleague of mine from Texas, Rob Renfro. You're going to see several quotes in today's message notes from him because he wrote this book called A Way Through the Wilderness, Growing in Faith When Life is Hard. Great title, right? Growing in Faith When Life is Hard. And throughout this book, he talks at great length about his own personal wilderness experience and the things that he has learned in being a pastor for lots of years in walking with people through wilderness experiences of life. Over the last few weeks, we have looked at several topics that Rob writes about in his book. We talked about the first week was that there's no way around the wilderness. The reality is we can't skirt the wilderness. We can't usually go around it. It's usually so big that in some way, some fashion, we got to go through it. And how we go through it is going to determine what we're going to be like on the other side of it. So we talked about what does it mean that there's no way around the wilderness. Then we talked the next week about what does it mean to enter the wilderness. We'll refresh your memory on that in just a few minutes. But we just talked about why do we end up in the wilderness? And he presents several reasons in there. Then we looked at walking with others in the wilderness. And if you remember, what I talked about in there, that is the right time for us to lean in to God's people, to lean in to God while we're doing that, because it is easier when we're walking through it with other people than when we try to go through the wilderness all by ourselves. That's usually when we face the greatest difficulties and the highest obstacles. And so when we walk through the wilderness with others, we're walking in the way that God created us to be in community with one another. We were not designed to be solitary people. We were created to be in community. As a matter of fact, in the very first part of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, God says it is not good for man to be alone. So he wired us with this inherent need to be in community with others. So it's important for us when we go through the wilderness experiences of life that we should walk with others in the midst of that. Then we talked the next week about walking with God in the midst of the wilderness, that we need to lean in to God when we're going through these wilderness experiences, because we got to lean into his power. We got to lean into the possibilities that God provides for us, that we got to lean in to what God wants us to learn in the midst of that, and how we're going to discover that he will help carry us through these great wilderness experiences of life. Last week, we talked about avoiding wrong turns in the wilderness, about how easy it is for us as we begin going through the wilderness to get detoured and get our journey hijacked so we get off course, so that oftentimes we actually spend more time in the wilderness than we really need to. And so we looked at how do we avoid those wrong turns? How do we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus so that we can keep moving in the direction that's going to get us to the other side of the wilderness, where we get out of the current situation and the current predicament that we're in? And so today we're going to look at coming out of the wilderness. We're going to look at what is it that we can learn when we come out of the wilderness, because the good news is at some point in our journey, we will come out of the wilderness. And that is good news for us. Sometimes that wilderness is a days or weeks or months or seasons or years, but the good news is that we will at some point, at some season, come out of the wilderness. And so we're going to look at what that means. But we need to remind ourselves what this wilderness is all about. Because I will tell you, I have heard from so many of you in the last few weeks of saying, man, I've been going through a wilderness. I'm going through a difficult season of my life right now. And I've had actually lots of people say, so how is it that you preach messages like this that speaks to exactly what I'm going through right now? And I usually say, well, because God told me that you have a problem. Which he doesn't. He doesn't. But it's just amazing how God works that way, isn't it? How you can listen to songs or hear a sermon or have a friend speak something to you in your life that is just what you need at that moment. That, to me, is an example of God's grace, of God just giving us what we need. And so what is this wilderness? The wilderness is a time or a season in our lives when we are overwhelmed. When it is just tough, when we feel like the pressure is on, it is a season when we're tested. And it's not tested by God, but it's tested by other people, and it's tested by ourselves. It is a time when we are tempted to take our eyes off of God and kind of look for the easy way out or the shortest path, when the reality is sometimes we've got to really put our shoulder down to work through that wilderness. It is a season where we feel trapped, where we just wonder that our hearts are heavy. This is all review, by the way, and our spirits are dry. You ever been there? Where your heart just feels heavy and your spirit's just like, man, I'm just tapped out. I don't have the energy. I'm just going to keep my jammies on all day long, all week long, all, yeah, you can't really do that, right? But we have these times where we feel so dry, where we just feel our hearts are heavy. If we're really honest, we say it's a time when life is hard. Where it is hard to get out of bed, it is hard to go to work, it is hard to face the people who in many ways are making our wilderness more difficult than it needs to be. It's a time when the future seems barren. It's hard for us to look out way past the wilderness because we feel so overwhelmed in this that it's hard for us to see what's it gonna look like on the other side. And we wonder, how in the world are we gonna make it? Have you had those wilderness experiences? Well, if you haven't, get ready, because you will. Jesus said, in this life, you will have many difficulties. So it's a fact, it's a given. Whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, in this life, you and I, we will all have difficulties. Or using the word that I've used for this series, we will all have wilderness experiences. But the wilderness can also be a season or a time that does something else in us, something else through us, something with us. In other words, the wilderness can be a time or a season to lean in to God's word, to lean in to God's people known as the church, to lean in to the Spirit of God. It's a time that actually can be a real wake-up call for us, that we might have just been coasting in our faith. And so it's a time where we can actually lean in. And you know what? One of the biggest mistakes that people make when they go through the wilderness experiences of life, they lean away. They lean away from God's word. They lean away from God's spirit. They lean away from God's people. And that, my friends, prolongs the experience in the wilderness. And so what we should do when we're going through the wilderness experiences of life, even when it's tough, is we lean in. The church that I pastored before starting Faith Point back in 2003, I pastored this church in the rural part of Western Indiana. And I had an older lady in our congregation who, it was really tough for her to go to church on certain days, because certain days just reminded her of some losses in her life. And I said, here, I want to encourage you. Lean in to church on those days. Lean in to God's people on those days. Because you will discover that you're not alone. That when you lean away, the heaviness is more. That what we really need to do is to be leaning in. So that the wilderness can be a season for us to really lean in, to be drawn closer to God. In other words, to learn to trust God in a deeper way. See, we learn to trust God when we lean into him. We learn to trust God when we lean into his people. We learn to trust God when we lean in to his spirit. So there are all kinds of opportunities for us when we're in the wilderness to learn to trust God in a deeper way, to grow closer to him than we've ever been before. See, because when you're in the wilderness and you can't see what tomorrow looks like, when you feel trapped, tempted, tested, dry, that is the time where we cry out to God. Because how many of us in our relationship with God. It's going along and going along and going along. And it actually gets to the point where it's so casual that there really is no intentional nature to our relationship with God, that we're not really feeding it, investing it, doing something with it. And then the proverbial doo-doo hits the fan. And then what do? Oh, God, right? The two words everybody says, right? When they enter the wilderness, everybody says that. Oh, God, where are you? And he says, I'm right here. I am with you always to the ends of the age. And one of the major ways he is always with us that we experience is in community. And so we can learn in the wilderness to trust God in a deeper way, to grow closer to him than ever before, and to literally be transformed into the very image of Christ, to really become more like Jesus, who, by the way, the moment after he is baptized, the Holy Spirit comes and descends upon him like a dove. He is led into the wilderness for 40 days. What we know from medical science is 40 days is like the cap. It is the cap of how long you can live as a human being with no food and water. And 40 days, we're told that at the end of that season, the devil comes and tempts him when he is at his weakest. But he stood tough against that. And so we can learn to be transformed, to have that kind of strength, that kind of resolve, that kind of literally power to resist the things that might come our way, so that we might seize these opportunities for us to literally be transformed. Now, we have talked over the last few weeks about the many, many ways of why we end up in the wilderness. And as I presented to you, I think one of the greatest or biggest, I'm not even going to put percentiles on this, but this is pretty high. Most of us actually end up in the wilderness because of our actions or our decisions. We just do dumb things. How many times do we find ourselves saying to our kids, was that a good choice? When really, we should be looking at ourselves a lot of times and going, was that a good choice? Or we need somebody, the community of faith, coming alongside us in accountable relationships, loving relationships, and say, hey, like, was that really a good choice? But we end up in the wilderness because of our actions or our decisions. But we also end up in the wilderness because of the actions and decisions of others. Other people do really stupid things. Other people get into a car after they've been drinking and they go and they hit and kill people. Very bad decision, right? People do all kinds of dumb things. And so oftentimes we end up in the wilderness because of the actions or decisions of other people. Sometimes we enter the wilderness just through the natural flow of life, through the transitions or the seasons of life. Many of us go through the wilderness like right after our kids are born, right? In the hospital, it's like, ooh, so cool, so cute, beautiful, lovely. And then they're crying 24/7. You're like, oh, right? And then they enter school and they know everything, right? And then they enter into middle school and they really think they know everything. And then they get into high school and they're assured they know everything. And then they start college like, we don't know nothing. Kind of the natural flow of life, right? Or things like job changes, things like transitions of health. You know, my dad's going to be 87 this year and my mom's going to be 80. I'm learning, what does that mean to navigate that season of life with parents who are getting older? You know, like, what do we do with that? What's the future look like? How do we walk with you in the midst of that? My mom has just recently been diagnosed with two different forms of lung cancer. And it's like, how do we navigate that? And how do we really look at Jesus? And how do we really keep Jesus foremost in where we are so that we can journey together through that? So often diseases, things like that, they're a natural flow of life that create wilderness experiences. And then sometimes, I don't think this is the major one. As a matter of fact, I think this is one of the more minor ones. It's the plan of God, that God's going to lead us through a wilderness to teach us something. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking a lot about that. We've been looking at the history of the Israelites, where God calls them out of slavery and captivity under Egypt, under the Pharaoh, and is leading them to this place that he calls the Promised Land, flowing with milk and honey. It is like so good. But because of their disobedience, because of their inability to really believe God, they get right on the edge of the promised land, and their faith isn't strong. And they don't believe that God's going to do what God says he's going to do. So God says, okay, it's time to go for a walk. By the way, it's going to be 40 years. It's going to be a long walk. So sometimes God has a plan for us, that there's something that we need to learn, some way that we need to grow, some way that we need to be changed, so that we can become different people. But see, here's the idea. More important than what happens to you in the wilderness, is what happens in you. If there's anything that I could talk about at great length throughout this message series, is that idea. More important than what happens to you in the wilderness. And again, it's tough, right? It's challenging. You have decisions to make and actions to do. But what's really super important is what happens in you. In other words, what do you become? Rob writes in his book, it is impossible to go through the wilderness without being changed. Rather than swooping in to take our problems away, more often God works to change who we are through the problems and pain of our lives. Notice that word, through the problems and pains in our lives. So often when we hit the wilderness experience and we're like, God, where are you? He's like, I'm right here, but I'm going to walk with you through this. I'm not just going to pluck you out. Because there are, believe it or not, there are some great things, which is what we're going to talk about today, about coming out of the wilderness. So the question is, as we think about this wilderness, we've been on the journey, we've talked about being with others, we've talked about being with God, we've talked about avoiding the pitfalls, we've set ourselves with the reality that we're all going to go through wilderness experience. The question that we have to ask at the end of this series is just this one question. Who will you be when the difficult season is over? Who will you be when this difficult season, when this wilderness experience is over? Is your heart open to whatever it is that God wants to teach you? Is your heart open enough? Are you willing to go wherever God says to go? Are you open to how God might transform you, renew you, maybe even recreate you into someone new through your wilderness? So who will you be when you come out of the wilderness? Because what I'm going to talk with you over the next few minutes about is that there are actually benefits to the wilderness. There are amazing benefits to the wilderness. The first one is this. The wilderness will reveal who you are. In his book, actually, Rob says, the wilderness can be your friend. Probably not a friend that we all really want, right? But the wilderness can be a friend because it will reveal who you are. In other words, when we're put under pressure, We will figure out who we are, right? When we are put under pressure, there's something that pressure always does is it reveals who we really are, right? Pressure reveals who we really are. And so what the wilderness can do is it can reveal who we really are, taking all the masks off, all the facades off, everything away. It will just reveal who we are. It can reveal things like the weaknesses and faults that we weren't even aware of. It can reveal strengths that we never knew that we had. I've been seeing a strength in my mom as she's been walking this journey. I knew my mom was a strong woman, but I'm seeing that she's a super strong woman as she's navigating this. It will reveal the depth of our faith. It can reveal the strength of our character, and it can reveal a courageous spirit that I am going to make it through. I am going to fix my eyes on Jesus, and I am going to make it through. I'm going to be stronger on the other side than I am right here, because the wilderness is a spiritual stress test. It is a time where what we believe and how we live and what we trust in really gets the pressure put on. It is a stress test. Have you ever taken a stress test? I went through a season where I felt like I just had some chest pains. And several years ago, my doctor said, all right, you need to have a cardiac stress test. I'm like, okay, so I will go do that. He didn't tell me I'm supposed to wear sneakers. So I actually went to the cardiac stress test with nice little dress shoes on and, you know, regular clothes. And I get there and they're like, can you run on the treadmill in those? I'm like, really? Like, how hard? Like, super hard. Like, we want to get your heart rate like over 150, and we want to monitor you. And it could have been one of those things that America's Funniest Videos could have been taping, and I could have been a $10,000 winner. The way I watch that show, it could have even been $100,000 when I see who wins. But, you know, it's one of those things where you're running, they go, can you go faster? We'll help you. Right? They speed it up because they want to put all this stress on you because they want to see how your heart responds when it's under stress. Well, the wilderness is like that. It is the cardiac stress test for you to see who you really are, because the wilderness will show you the real condition of your spiritual heart. It will really show you, like, so where is your heart? Like, really, where is your heart? Is your heart fixed on Jesus? Or is your heart a little too fixed on you? What is the condition of your spiritual heart? It will also help us to see the real condition of our character. When we look at the Israelites, right? When Moses says, all right, we're going, they're like, yeah, we're going with you. All 2 million of us, we're heading out of Egypt. We're going to the promised land. It is within days that they are whining and griping and complaining. Why did you bring us out here? I think that's where our kids originally got the idea of, are we there yet? Right? And so they're griping and complaining. And what we see from the Israelites, their character, that it didn't take long for us to discover that they were more marked by fear, unbelief, and criticism than faith. But see, when we go through the wilderness, it will do the same thing. It will help us to figure out, what's our character? What's our true moral character? Are we going to stick to what we believe? Are we going to say, there's no way I'm going to be detoured or pulled aside? Or are we going to make it? Well, when we go through the wilderness, it will reveal the true nature of our character. It will also reveal the real condition of our faith. That deep, abiding. It's easy to say, I trust God in the good times. But in the tough times, if we're really honest, it's harder to say that, isn't it? God, I trust you. God, I believe that you have the best in store for me. God, your word says that I work together for good in all things who love you and are called according to your purposes. I believe that, but actually we should probably be more like Thomas, right? I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. But when we go through the wilderness, it will reveal the condition of our faith. See, Jesus puts it simply. He says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. So one of the benefits of the wilderness is that it will reveal, like, who we really are. It will help us to see what parts of our faith really need to be forged. What parts of our heart and our character need to be reshapen or reformed or even maybe knocked down and completely rebuilt. So the first benefit of the wilderness is that it will reveal who we really are. And again, let's just be super honest, right? We grow the most in the difficult seasons of life, right? We grow the most in those difficult seasons. Not that anybody wants them, but that's when we grow. Because when pressure is put on us, that's when we have to make a decision. Where are we going to fix our eyes? Where are we going to lean? What are we going to pay attention to? So the first benefit that we see in the wilderness is that it will reveal who you are. Second benefit is that the wilderness will change you. It will. It will change you. It will affect your passions. It will affect your priorities. It will affect your pursuits. When you come out on the other side of a wilderness experience, you will not be the same as when you went into that wilderness experience. Rob puts it this way. He says, you will always come out of the wilderness different than you were when you went in. Always. It might not be as evident for you, but you will come out different than you were when you went in. Hopefully, you'll come out stronger and not weaker. Hopefully, you will come out with more faith and less doubts. Hopefully, that you will come out closer to God, but some actually come out further away from God. Hopefully, you will come out of the wilderness more like Christ, more like Jesus. But unfortunately, sometimes we come out more self-centered. Hopefully, we come out of the wilderness softened to be used by God instead of cynical. Oh, the world's out to get me. Oh, life is just so hard. Hopefully, we'll come out looking more to Jesus. But Rob says that it's possible for us to come out of the wilderness, but for the wilderness to remain in us. That's hard, isn't it? But it acknowledges the reality that why did it take the Israelites 40 years to journey through the wilderness? Because before Moses could get them out of the wilderness, he needed to get the wilderness out of them. And so for us, when we're going through the wilderness experiences of life, the reality is we can get out on the other side, but we can get out on the other side but still have the wilderness inside of us. In other words, stuck. Not experiencing life to its fullness as much as possible, right? Not living as well as we really can. Hebrews 3:22 says that we should be careful to make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. In other words, what our writer acknowledges, because he's actually in this passage, he's reflecting on Israel. He's reflecting on their journey. And he's saying, you got to be super careful. And see, in the wilderness, you got to be super careful, because there's going to be others that have come alongside and are going to say things like, you know what, just live for you. You know, you deserve that. You know what, just give up on that religion stuff and just go. Faith, who needs faith? Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You just do what you need to do. That's why over this series, we've talked at length about we have to be careful of the voices that we listen to. Because when the voice of God speaks, there's always a dissenting voice. When the voice of God says, come, there's always another voice that says, leave. When the voice of God says, see me, there's always another voice that says, look away. When the voice of God speaks, it says, come in, there's another voice that says, get away. So we have to acknowledge the fact that the wilderness will change us, but we have a choice to make. You have a choice to make in the midst of your wilderness. It's that question that we started with. Who will you be on the other side of the wilderness? Because who you will be to a great degree depends on the choices that you make, as we just talked about. You can come out way different than what you were. You can come on the other side of that wilderness stronger, more trusting, more believing, more faithful, more ardent in your faith. You can be that. But the reality is you can come out not like that. So the wilderness will change us, but how will it change you on the other side? So the benefits of the wilderness will reveal who we are, the wilderness will change us, and number three, the wilderness will give you a gift to share. Here's what I mean by that one. You ever been with somebody who's been through it? You ever come up next to somebody who's gone through what you're going through? You ever been with somebody that says, I know how you feel? Now, if they've not been through what you've been through and they say, I know how you feel, what is your response? No, you don't. But when we come out of the wilderness, whatever the wilderness that we experienced was, we have the opportunity to give a gift to others that can be used by God in a huge way. The gifts of compassion, the gifts of empathy, the gift of faith. Somebody to journey with us. Somebody that can walk with us in the midst of our trials and difficulties and stressors. Rob says that there are some pains, some questions, some losses that we never really get over, right? Right. But he says we have to live with them. But we can live lives that are full and that bless others if, while we carry our loss, we know that we are not done and that God is with us. Last year, we went to see that movie, God's Not Dead. I think it was last year, maybe the year before. One of the amazing lines, I think one of the most profound lines in that whole movie was, if you're not dead, God's not done. And what that speaks to me in the midst of this series is that God can take whatever we go through, our wilderness experiences, and God can use that, right? He can use what we go through to impact others, to help with others as they're going through the wilderness, to journey with others when they're going through the wilderness, to speak words of hope and promise and future, words of, I've been there, you will get through this. Words of hope. Those are gifts that we get to give to other people. What most profoundly impacts the lives of others is what we have learned from our struggles and failures. The pain can give us a gift to share with others who are lost and alone. Throughout this series, I have used the words lean in, right? Lean in. Because when we lean in, we receive the gifts that God wants us to use. The abilities, the compassions, the empathies, the gifts that we get to share with others, because we will have difficulties in this life. And if we try to go through those difficulties by ourselves, we are going to get dragged under. We are going to come out on the other side of the wilderness worse than we were before we went in there. But we who have gone through the wilderness have an opportunity to share what we've gone through with others, and that is a gift. I put it this way. The wilderness brings us to the end of ourselves. When we go through the wilderness, ultimately we get to this place which says, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't see the future. I'm dry. I'm parched. I'm done. I just can't do it. It'll bring you to the end of yourself if you allow that journey to shape you, to direct you. But the good news is that we come to the end of ourselves so that we can have a new beginning with God. That we have the opportunity to come out on the other side of the wilderness to have a new beginning, because God's not done. If we're not dead, he's not done. His Lamentations 3:23 says, his mercies are new every single day. His word says, my grace is sufficient for you. His word says, you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. Romans tells us that God can take everything that happens to us and work for our good, for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. But the promise that I hold on to the most, it is my life verse. If you have been around here any length of time, you will have heard me say this over and over and over. And I would encourage you to find a life verse, because oftentimes, especially in the wilderness, we've got to have something that we hold on to, right? We call that an anchor, don't we, Debbie? We got to have an anchor that we hold on to. And my anchor is this from John 10:10. The first part of the verse says, the thief comes only to rob and to kill and to destroy. In other words, there is a devil, he's real, and his sole purpose is to mess us up. To rob, to kill, and to destroy. And he will use anything and everything at his disposal, including the people closest to us, to do that. But here's the promise. Jesus says, but my purpose, my singular soul, one grand, amazing, spectacular, overarching, nothing else is bigger than that. My purpose is this, to give you a rich and satisfying life. Amen. Revelation 21:5, listen to these words. It's not going to be up here, so you're just going to need to listen. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he said this, It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious, in other words, get through their wilderness, will inherit all these blessings. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. So where do we go? Wilderness is a reality. We will all face it over and over and over again. Some of our wilderness experiences will be hours. Some will be days. Some will be weeks. Some will be seasons. Some will be years. But how you navigate your wilderness will determine who you are and what you can become. And so when we go through the wilderness experiences of life, the question again, who will you be when this season is over? And God's desire is that we'll be closer to him with a deeper faith and a more abiding trust and a more abiding presence in him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or imagine. Because he has come so that we might have life, rich, satisfying, abundant, and full. That is the heart of the gospel, that we are offered new life.